If you had a 24-hour clock that represented the history of mankind and his downward spiral to the end, what time would be on that clock? Some say we're at 3 minutes or less to midnight. Many said that World War I was the war to end all wars. Then came World War II, and it was far worse. How close are we to World War III and the Great Tribulation and Armageddon? Are we but minutes away based on the Bible prophecy clock and human history? The Bible shows us major signs of world events that will come on the world scene and will rock this world as nothing has in the past. You may not realize it, but these major signs are working on the world scene and in your life. You need to prepare for that time. Where are we in prophecy, and how do those events affect you personally? Stay tuned as we discuss, what time is it?
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
The prophetic time clock for mankind is ticking away. Based on Bible prophecy and current world events, we're well on our way to the very end time. Whether we call it World War III or the Great Tribulation, the Bible tells us it will be the worst time human beings will ever endure, a time of unbelievable pain and suffering. How far away are we from that time? What are the signs? How can we face that time? Here to discuss this topic is United Church of God Pastor Don Henson.
Thank you, Steve.
Welcome, Don. Now, you can't talk about Bible prophecy without addressing Jesus Christ and what he said to his disciples. Now, they were very interested in what would happen at the end. They knew a Messiah was coming, and he was it. And yet they asked questions. What were the signs? And I wonder, why was that so important to them, especially at that time?
Well, the disciples asked that question of Jesus at a time which begins what we know of as the Olivet Prophecy. It's recorded in Matthew 24, Luke 21, Mark 13, and it's a summary of the answer that Jesus gave to the disciples to their question. But the reason that question came to mind was that he had just made a very startling statement to them. They'd been standing before the temple, and the disciples were admiring this beautiful building and all the various parts and aspects of it. And they're very proud, in a sense, of that building and what it represented to them. It was their history. It was their heritage. It was their religion. It even represented, in a sense, their future. And Jesus turned to them, and he said that there would come a time when there would not be left one stone upon the other in that entire temple. And that was shocking to them. It was not what they expected him to say. And so they were very interested in what he meant by that and what would be the sign of those events coming to pass.
And so he associated some of those things being happening as they drew to the end. And as he talked about those things, that misunderstanding must have really been nagging at them so they could understand and want to find out exactly the details of those things. And so what caused that misunderstanding? Why didn't they get what Christ was talking about at that time?
Well, the religious Jews at the time of Christ, that Christ lived, were looking for a Messiah. They were looking for the anointed one who would come and give them salvation, who would save them and restore their nation.
Now, not just the disciples, but the whole nation in general of the Jews.
All the religious Jews were looking for that. Now, the disciples understood that Jesus was that Messiah. In general, that was, of course, not understood. Mm-hmm. But the disciples realized who Jesus was. They knew he was the Messiah. However, even in their case, they didn't fully understand the message that Christ was bringing to them about just what he was there to do at that time. They were living under the domination of the Roman Empire, and they bristled at that control that the Romans had over them. And not only were they under another nation, in effect oppressed by them, but of all things, it was a massive Gentile nation. And so they really were longing for the time when they would have freedom. Now, prophecy says that the Messiah would come, and that nation of Judah would be restored, and that the nation would be brought back to its independence and be powerful once again. However, the disciples did not understand that was not going to happen at that time.
So to have Christ say, the temple's going to come down and all the stones are going to be overturned, they were expecting to hear the Roman government was going to come down instead.
Exactly.
And yet they heard exactly the opposite. So I'm sure that would have then begin to spur all kinds of questions. You know, what are you talking about? Are you sure you've got it right? That doesn't seem to make sense with what we know. And so what that probably caused them to say, okay, what are the signs? What's going to happen? Be more specific. And I'm sure they asked that then.
Well, they did. They asked what would be the sign of the end of the age and of his coming and of the fulfilling of those prophecies that they were so anxious to see. And Jesus gave them a number of signs. For example, He warned them that as they approached the end of the age, that there would be false Christs who would come upon the scene. And he also warned them that there would be wars and rumors of wars. In other words, a time of war and turbulence and fear and concern about more wars that could come.
Now that is interesting that Christ would say there's going to be false Christs. That sounds kind of odd, you know, to some people's ears, that there would be false Christs. Now, what did he mean by that? What did he mean that in the end there would be false Christs?
Well, he did not mean that there would be others coming claiming to be Christ. What he was telling them was that there would be others who would come with a false message about Christ. And amazingly, that started even right at the time of, or just immediately after, the time of Christ's death. In the book of Galatians, Paul writes of his amazement that the people in the church there, in the churches in the region of Galatia, had so quickly been turned to another gospel, which he identified as being a perversion of the true gospel that Jesus Christ had brought. He also writes a little later in 2 Corinthians 11 about false apostles who appear to be ministers of light, who appear to be bringing the truth, but actually have a different message, a different gospel entirely.
And I'm sure that as we look at what's going on in the world today and we see these prophetic events occurring, we can't help but notice there's a lot of Christianity out there with every different viewpoint, every different take, every different interpretation. And they can't all be right. They can't all be right. So don't we see those prophecies being fulfilled that Christ talked about?
Well, certainly. In fact, we can identify right away that these are the kind of trends that would take place over a period of time. But Christ implies it would reach a culmination at the time that as his return approaches. But yes, there has been false teaching about Christ from the very beginning.
And the wars, rumors of wars, we hear about those things. You turn on the news and there's a conflict going on, some terrorism, some difficulties going on.
Certainly.
That seem to continue to fulfill what Christ had said. Now, was that it? Were there others that he might have mentioned as far as signs?
Well, certainly there were other signs as well. For example, he continued on to point out that following, in addition to the wars and rumors of wars, there'd be great famines. Now, famine is kind of a natural consequence of a major war. When nations' abilities to raise crops and their agricultural cycle is interrupted, that leads to famine. And the King James translators, in order to emphasize the point, added the words "and pestilence." So it says there'd be famines and pestilence, indicating a widespread problem of death and disease and famine as a result of those wars. Christ also said there would be earthquakes in diverse places, it says in the King James. His intent there apparently is to indicate there'll be earthquakes in different places, in various places, and quite possibly meaning that there'll also be earthquakes in unusual places where they haven't really experienced them that much in the past.
Well, it seems today we see those things happening in unusual places. We see unusual weather patterns. We see droughts and we see flooding and we see difficulties that just seem to be getting more and more all the time.
Well, you know, one point that Christ made in that same context there in his prophecy was that these are just the beginning of sorrows. In other words, he indicates that these things begin and they grow and they build, but they will reach, as I said, a dramatic conclusion at the very end of the age.
So we begin to see there's a lot to the signs of the end that Jesus Christ talked about. He understood that we have a need to understand why world events, why natural phenomena work the way that they do. And he gave that information to his disciples, and he's giving it to us today. We need to understand what's coming down the line. How close are we to the end? You need to get to your Bible. In fact, we've got some information that can help you understand exactly the words that are coming from Jesus Christ out of your Bible. Order this free booklet today. Are we living in the time of the end? It's a booklet that can help you understand your Bible. It has information that will help you to change your life, to see what's going on in the world and understand world events and what's on the horizon. There's plenty to learn, plenty to know. Get this free booklet. Go online to beyondtoday.tv. You can own your own copy. Read it immediately. You need this booklet. Stay tuned because there's plenty to discuss about whether or not we're living in the time of the end.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? Your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End will reveal what the Bible says about our world in perpetual crisis.
See among hundreds of prophecies where we are now in a timeline of events Jesus predicted would be worse than ever before or will be ever again. Read Jesus' predictions in the book of Revelation and his comparison of Noah's age with ours. While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End?
Are we living in the time of the end? It seems our world today, we all suffer from NET, not enough time. How much time do we have? Prophetically, are we living in the end time? We've been discussing the signs of the times of the end and what major events would lead to that very end of the age. So Don, as we talk about this, how do we know? What exactly is the end time? There's so many definitions and so many ideas out there. What is it when we say the end time?
That's certainly something that people have always been concerned about, is about the end of the age or end of the world or the end of time. There are three different ways we can look at it from Scripture as far as how similar terms are used. For example, New Testament writers would refer at times to the last days or something in the last days. Generally, what they are talking about is the period of time that begins actually with Christ's birth and life clear up to the time of his return. So it's not a very specific term.
So it could be a broad sense in one way.
That's how they use it oftentimes. Now, in the book of Daniel, Daniel is very specific in his prophecies. He talks about the time of the end. And so he's speaking of events that will lead up to the return of Jesus Christ.
So he's much more specific than the broad sense.
Exactly. Those are very specific and precise prophecies.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ used the term the end of the age. As we saw in the Olivet Prophecy. And he's talking about the end of this world's society and the time when he would return to establish God's kingdom on this earth. So there are various terms that are used and sometimes kind of mixed together, and it can be a little bit confusing, mm-hmm. even in reading in Scripture. What is this talking about? Is this referring to the very end of the age?
Mm-hmm. And so as we're speaking today, we're looking at that very specific time. We're trying to zero in at the time that Christ was talking about. When you look at Matthew 24, you look at Luke 21, that Olivet Prophecy, he spoke very specifically about signs that would be at that time, that
yes.
time as we draw to the very end of the age.
Right.
And you had mentioned that one of the signs he talked about was false Christs.
Mm-hmm.
Now, certainly that could mean a number of things, but how did Christ specifically mean that?
Well, it's amazing that there is so much diversity and so much difference in what people teach about Christ. He was specifically focusing on the fact that he would be misrepresented, and that the religion of in his name, Christianity, would also be misrepresentative as far as what he really taught and what he really wanted people to understand. And that what you have to do is to look at what is taught and compare it to what people teach and compare that to what Jesus actually said, mm-hmm. so in order to understand what is true or really right Christianity and not a false Christ.
Well, I suppose today, you know, in our modern world, we're not going to be fooled by that. You know, isn't mm-hmm. Christianity and everything's good, and if you try to be a good person, it's fine. But yet, Christ nevertheless said, wait a second, you can be deceived. And that can happen even today as well. And isn't that what specifically he was talking about?
Yes, it is a general deception about him, his message, what he taught about how to live and about what he taught about the kingdom that is to come.
That's an interesting place to start as he began to talk about his message. What did he teach? What did he do? What did he follow? And that can get so far off track from obviously what has happened and how he taught his disciples even to today. Now, as well, he mentioned that there would be wars and there'd be rumors of wars. And as we begin to think about that, I'm sure many people would say, now, wait a second. There's been wars throughout time. You know, what's so different about that? What did he mean by that? You know, how in the world can wars and rumors of wars indicate much of anything, let alone we're living in the end of time? So what's the answer to that? How do wars and rumors of wars show that we're nearing that time of the end?
Obviously, there's been war in all the history of mankind. Jesus Christ was speaking in a more specific sense about the kinds of wars that would precede his return. Other prophecies show us that there will be particular alignments of nations that will come about at the time that leads up to his return. And as those nations come together, and as those particular nations face off and square off in skirmishes and in wars. Those are the wars that we can look at that will identify that the end of this age is coming. You can't just say, well, there's always been war. There are particular wars, particular configurations that Christ is warning about.
That's an interesting word. So, in other words, you're saying there's groups of nations or confederations or configurations of peoples that are going to come together. So, the prophecies are really specific. How about an example? Is there an example you can give me out of prophecy to show just that?
Sure. Daniel chapter 11 is an amazing prophecy. It begins clear back in the 500s BC during the time of the Medo-Persian Empire, and it extends clear up to the time of Christ's return.
So like a timeline of prophecy.
Very, 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 very well put. It's a timeline, and most of that prophecy is now history. And you can look at the fulfillment of those prophecies, and it gives you assurance that the prophecies yet to come are also going to be fulfilled very precisely as were the prophecies earlier in that same chapter.
So we have the historical record to prove the prophecy is true, and there's still some yet to be fulfilled.
In fact, it's the most dramatic part that is yet to be fulfilled. In Daniel 11, verse 40, Daniel mentions two kings or two powers that will war at a time just before Christ returns. He identifies them as the king of the north and the king of the south. And he says that these two, the king of the south, he says, will push at or will make war with the king of the north. And the king of the north will retaliate and will sweep down into the Holy Land, into the area around Jerusalem, and will defeat the king of the south. And these are very specific prophecies that have to do with a war that will take place just before the return of Jesus Christ.
And so it's pretty plain. It doesn't leave a whole lot of room to figure out who these peoples are. Now, in relationship to north and south, what are we talking about? Where do we base those directions out of?
But the north and south are both in relation to the city of Jerusalem, to the Holy Land. That's the focus of those prophecies. And so geographically, we look on the map and we see to the north of the Middle East is the continent of Europe. And we consider what's happening in Europe. Europe is now forming into a very powerful, a very strong superpower. And it is already the strongest and the largest economic bloc in all the world. And it's growing constantly and continually in its political impact and power as well. Then you look to the south and in around Jerusalem and to its south, the only nations or the only group of nations that could ally to form another military force would be the Islamic nations that are there in the region of the Holy Land and south and around Jerusalem.
Now, we don't have to look very far to realize that Mideast seems to be the focus of the world right now. When we look at the difficulties in Iraq and Iran and the areas of the world right there and the oil-rich countries, more and more focus seems to be placed in those areas. In fact, as we look at end-time events, Christ was right. Bible prophecy is right. Jesus warns about false Christianity. He warns about wars and rumors of wars. That will be leading us to the end time. It is possible, though, to understand the events. In fact, we can pinpoint them right down to the very end time. We're going to be doing that a little bit further in our next segment. So stay tuned, and we'll be back with more.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End? Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
When you order our free booklet, Are We Living in the Time of the End?, you can always get a free copy. It comes right with your booklet. The Good News Magazine, our flagship publication. A magazine of understanding. It'll help you understand your world. Because when we begin to think about it, how long can our world problems continue? I mean, is it possible for mankind to solve his own problems? What time, prophetically, is it? We've been talking about this subject, and as we look at the issues involved in the time of the end, we were talking about specific prophecies that Jesus Christ talked about, wars and rumors of wars. In fact, we began to zero in on the Mideast and began to discuss that area of the world. Now, specifically, you were talking about prophecies in Daniel. Tell me a little bit more about the specific nature of those prophecies there in the book of Daniel.
Well, prophecy, if we put the scenario together, prophecy indicates that there'll be some kind of alliance of these nations to the south of and around Jerusalem that will find some way to push at, to antagonize, to attack, make war with the king of the north.
So you got the king of the south, the king of the north in relationship to Jerusalem.
To the holy city, yes. And, they may use oil, for example, as a weapon, because if they control the oil, if those nations control the flow of oil, Europe is dependent upon that. And you can conceive that could be a form of a weapon to be used to push at or to make life difficult for those nations.
We've seen it as a weapon already.
That's
used,
right.
Against
right.
us.
And so the scenario shows that the king of the north, this power that will come out of Europe, will sweep down into the region and will win that battle and take control over the area and defeat the king of the south.
So very specifically, Bible prophecy talks about that. And if we match that up with confederations today, Europe's about the only thing that is north of Jerusalem. And so they're going to protect, their interests, aren't they?
Yes, and it's going to be an incredible time. Steve, the Bible talks about prophecy in kind of an outline form. It's kind of a sequence of events. But we know that this is going to affect people. This is going to affect hundreds of millions of people. It's going to change the lifestyle of people as these wars are battling. And remember that the sign of famines and of other natural disasters such as earthquakes, all this is happening in a mix at the same time. It's going to be a very confusing and a very difficult time. And the Bible speaks of it as a time of great tribulation.
Now, of course, in some ways, it's almost a repeat of history in a certain sense that this is a much greater extent. It's huge. It's a great tribulation. But there have sure been signs along the ways of the difficulties between Europe and the Middle East. And so it's just going to be just that much more extensive and that much bigger of an issue when
yes.
it comes this next time around.
Yes.
Now you said eventually the North, is going to push against the South. They're going to defeat the South. Does prophecy talk about what happens next?
It does. You have to kind of piece it together. The next element of the prophecy in sequence, we go back to Revelation chapter 16, and we see that there next will come, once the king of the north has won that battle, there comes a great army out of the east. Now, again, you go back to the map and you look to the east of the Holy Land, to the east of Jerusalem, and you get into Asia. Now, this is an enormous army, it says in Revelation, of 200 million. And when you consider the populations of the nations in Asia, you can see how that kind of an army can conceivably come out of
might be the
east.
Only place that many people could come from.
You would think. And so here comes the army out of the east that now sets its face against the king of the north, which has won the battle there in the Middle East.
No wonder sometimes the Great Tribulation has been referred to as World War III when you see all these different groups of nations coming together to protect their own interest and try to dominate the world scene in that sense. And so Bible prophecy, as it looks at this, you see these nations coming together, the north overcomes the south, then comes the armies from the east. What happens next? They head-on clash into the Middle East then, it seems.
Well, it looks as if that these two armies have in mind to engage in a war between themselves. But Revelation 16 shows that God really is behind the scene manipulating this whole event. And he is bringing these two armies together for the final great battle that will come at the time when Jesus Christ returns. And so they actually don't battle against each other. They turn in unison together to fight against Jesus Christ at the time he returns.
Now most people say, oh, I've heard of Armageddon. Armageddon, that's the end of the world, that's doomsday, that's everything's going down. But in actuality, the armies come together,
yes.
but they don't fight each other.
Well, they gather at Armageddon, which is what it says in Revelation 16.
Now,
and that's just a Hebrew word that means the mountain of Megiddo.
Okay.
And that's located just north of Jerusalem, about 20 miles or so. But God gathers them at that location. And he then, they turn, as I said, to fight against Jesus Christ, and he makes very short work of that army,
and he destroys them entirely. This is recorded in Revelation 19. He destroys them completely, and at the time of his return.
So instead of fighting each other, that's the time that Jesus Christ begins to descend to set up his kingdom on earth. And rather than falling under the leadership of Jesus Christ and his kingdom, they're going to fight him instead of fighting each other. Is that the way prophecy tells the story?
Jesus Christ is drawing together the armies that oppose him. And he's bringing them all together into one place so that he can deal with them all at one time in one great final battle.
Now, what's the Bible really call? Instead of calling that battle Armageddon, doesn't the Bible call it something else? Battle of the great day of God Almighty.
That's how it's described in Revelation 16.
And sure, that puts a whole different twist on it when you see who will the victor be. Well, there's no question in the conflict.
Right.
And so then, with that battle, we've arrived at that time. We've arrived at the return of Christ. We've arrived at a different time and a different kingdom that will be established.
That is, again, what Christ called the end of the age. It's the end of this age, of this world and its system, and it is replaced by the kingdom that Christ will establish at the time that he returns.
Now, there's so much to talk about, so many more details than we can possibly discuss in just this one program. We have a booklet to help you understand. It's called Are We Living in the Time of the End? You need this booklet. It will help you understand the prophecies in your Bible. It'll help you to understand what nations are going to be in conflict at the end. What problems that are going on right now can we see leading to that time? Do you see the events on the horizon? You know, Jesus Christ predicted it's going to happen. These major events are a direct signal that it's leading us right to the very time of the end of the age. There's so much to the story. You may know some of it, but boy, there's a lot of misconceptions out there. You need to understand. So get out your Bible. Order our free literature. Go online, beyondtoday.tv, and get the information for yourself. It'll certainly change your life. We'll be right back.
Is the 21st century the beginning of the end of the world as we know it, with America's big cities blown up like Baghdad and its government shattered? While many religions contradict one another, prepare yourself by knowing for yourself what the Bible says by calling 1-888-886-8632 or going to beyondtoday.tv for your free copy of Are We Living in the Time of the End?
What time is it? The great pawns of prophecy are now lining up to bring about the major and catastrophic events of all time. Your Bible describes the results of man's own evil ways that will lead to the fulfillment of end-time events. What a terrible, horrific period of war that lies just ahead of us. But there is a little time. There's time to get right with God. He can help you prepare for the terrible events and, in fact, even protect you from them. Prophetic events are on the move. What time is it? The time to prepare is now. Thanks, Don, for being a guest on the program today. Now, when you want to understand your future and end-time events, we hope that you'll remember our program and look beyond today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.